8 years ago, Dr. David Beck's world collapsed at Lake Charmaine. What should have been a romantic anniversary celebration with his wife Elizabeth became a nightmare when she was abducted and murdered by a serial killer known as Kilroy. Beck himself was attacked and left for dead, surviving with only a spiderweb scar on his chest and memories that haunt him daily. The lake, once filled with childhood joy and their first kiss at age 12, became forever tainted with Elizabeth's screams and his helplessness. Grief transformed Beck into a shell of his former self. He now lives a monastic existence as a pediatrician in a low-income Washington Heights clinic, finding purpose in helping children while avoiding meaningful connections. His emotional life consists only of his relationship with his dog Chloe, Elizabeth's gift before her death, and his friendship with Shauna, his sister Linda's partner. The small details of his coping mechanisms, setting two coffee cups out each morning before catching himself, refusing to delete Elizabeth's number from his phone, paint a portrait of grief both deeply personal and universally relatable. Haven't we all built protective shells after experiencing loss? Beck's emotional paralysis speaks to anyone who has ever found themselves trapped in the amber of what might have been, unable to move forward after trauma. 8 years after Elizabeth's murder, Beck receives an email with the subject line EP plus DB, 21 slashes marking the years since their first kiss. The message references kiss time and includes a hyperlink containing details only they would know. At exactly 6:15 p.m., their sacred kiss time, Beck clicks the link and witnesses the impossible. Elizabeth alive on a street camera, tucking hair behind her ear before deliberately walking away. The woman whose funeral he attended and grave he's visited appears to be living. The email warns, "They're watching. Tell no one." Everyone suddenly becomes a potential threat, suggesting a conspiracy vast enough to maintain this deception for 8 years. If Elizabeth lives, where has she been? Why put him through such grief? And who orchestrated her death, complete with a body identified through dental records and DNA? As Beck contemplates Elizabeth's survival, darker forces emerge. Griffin Scope, billionaire father of murdered Brandon, discovers two bodies near Lake Charmaine from the night Elizabeth vanished. His response is ruthless. Whatever it takes, this gets buried. I don't care who gets buried with it. He dispatches enforcer Larry Gandel and the terrifying Eric Wu to handle the situation. FBI agents question Beck about Sarah Goodhart, Elizabeth's childhood alias, showing him photos of Elizabeth with bruises that suggest abuse. Beck claims they're from a car accident, but agents suspect murder. When Rebecca Shays, who took the abuse photos, is murdered, the weapon appears in Beck's garage with incriminating evidence, forcing him to flee from both law enforcement and Scope's men. The novel challenges our assumptions while maintaining emotional investment. This David versus Goliath dynamic, an ordinary person caught between extraordinary forces and powerful elites who manipulate justice, intensifies the narrative tension. Hunted by both FBI and Scope's men, Beck becomes a fugitive racing against time. His determination to meet Elizabeth drives him to dangerous extremes, hiding in dumpsters, fleeing police, even assaulting an officer. These actions mark a dramatic shift from his identity as a compassionate pediatrician. Beck's transformation shows how quickly moral boundaries dissolve when something precious is threatened. How far would you go for love? An unexpected alliance forms with Tyrese Barton, father of Beck's hemophiliac patient. Operating within criminal circles, Tyrese becomes Beck's guardian through a shadowy world of deception, transforming concerning skills into vital survival tools. Their relationship evolves into one of the novel's most compelling dynamics. Tyrese's 2-year plan to move his blind son TJ to Florida becomes a poignant symbol of parental love, his worn Florida postcard serving as both talisman and promise. As Beck uncovers the truth, each revelation spawns new mysteries. puzzling meetings between Elizabeth and Peter Flannery, discrepancies in her autopsy file, and suspicious removal of photographs by her father, suggesting a complex conspiracy. Beck's investigation uncovers disturbing connections between Elizabeth and Brandon Scope. Through attorney Flannery, he discovers Elizabeth falsely provided an alibi for Helio Gonzalez, Brandon's alleged murderer, claiming they were lovers. When confronted, Gonzalez confirms he never met Elizabeth and was elsewhere during the murder. FBI agent Carlson identifies inconsistencies in Elizabeth's autopsy. Defensive wounds contradict Kilroy's method of binding victims first. The signature branding was inflicted post-mortem rather than while alive, suggesting someone mimicked his methodology. Toxicology reports show cocaine and heroin use completely unlike Elizabeth's character. Most devastating is Beck's sister Linda's confession that Brandon had brutally beaten Elizabeth. Linda photographed the injuries, but Elizabeth swore her to secrecy while gathering evidence about Brandon's criminal enterprise. These revelations transform our understanding of Elizabeth. Rather than a random victim, she was investigating dangerous truths about Brandon's activities. Her seemingly idyllic life with Beck concealed a parallel existence of danger. How well can we truly know another person, even someone we've loved since childhood? Beck meets Elizabeth at the Dolphin, an old cabin at Lake Charmaine from their summer camp days, following a message sent through Shauna. At the lake, Beck encounters Jeremiah Renway, the local boogeyman, who reveals he's been hiding for 30 years after participating in a bombing. Renway saved Beck after the attack and later found the buried bodies. Beck finds Elizabeth at their special tree. Their reunion is interrupted by final revelations. Elizabeth's father, Hoyt Parker, confesses his Scope family connections. When Beck's father discovered Brandon Scope's criminal activities, Hoyt betrayed him to the Scopes, resulting in his murder disguised as an accident. Hoyt and his brother killed Elizabeth's pursuers, buried them, and faked her death using a Jane Doe before sending her overseas. Hoyt admits killing Brandon Scope after Brandon beat Elizabeth and threatened her life. At the Scope estate, Griffin Scope plays Hoyt's confession recording. As FBI helicopters arrive, Hoyt shoots Griffin before taking his own life. Days after Hoyt's funeral, Beck and Elizabeth reveal the truth hidden for 8 years. Beck killed Brandon Scope in self-defense during a home invasion, with Elizabeth preserving evidence to protect him. This final twist completes the novel's exploration of truth and deception. Beck, our narrator throughout, has withheld this central truth even from readers, his guilt and trauma from losing Elizabeth shaping his entire existence. The novel ends with Beck and Elizabeth embracing, knowing that waking beside each other daily will be enough. Their relationship emerges stronger for having endured secrets and separation. Memory serves as both comfort and curse, sustaining Beck, yet preventing him from moving forward. When Elizabeth adds 8 fresh lines to their tree carving, it symbolizes both continuity and change, each line representing a year apart. The novel suggests we can't escape our past, but can choose how we carry it. Beck and Elizabeth will always bear scars, but can build a future not defined solely by trauma, their love deepened through resilience amid devastating circumstances.